Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, it's Bud Pod 79. Phil, are you a fan of 79 as numbers go?
Not really. It's kind of a jagged kind of number. Is it prime? Is 79 prime? 79 feeling prime?
Surely it's prime. Check.
Is 79 prime number? Yes.
It's a prime.
Yes, it's a prime pod. Welcome to Prime Pod, everyone. It's a true prime podcast. This is all the rage right now. True prime. It's primes, but that have happened in real life.
Men.
Just prime numbers made up by Hollywood.
Men getting drunk and solving primes. Just doing roots of equations and things.
Just trying to... Three? Sure, I always... Does three? Does it divide by three? That's just a whole podcast.
Yeah.
That'd be a funny idea for a podcast. We just give ourselves a really big number and we just try and divide it by stuff.
And the rule is that you have to have pencil and paper.
Getting hired by the MI5, by MI5 or whatever.
Yeah. The one thing I like about 79 is they're in order. It's like, it's the two odd numbers around 8. So that looks quite nice. That's the best I can say for it.
Oh, sorry. How about 79? Yes. They are the bread of the 8
times. Yes, indeed. I've started double bagging it.
Just wait a sec. As a word of warning, I walked away at that point and I kept talking to you. So there'll be a couple of seconds where I'm not heard on the
microphone.
I don't know if you'll have to take it out.
Fine.
But I was so comfortable just talking to you on my headset. But anyway, sorry.
I'm double bagging it, Phil. That's what I'm doing right now.
I don't really think it's that kind of podcast, yeah. What do you mean?
Well, the trouble is that I am failing at finding a middle ground between coffee and the feeling it gives me that I'm being pursued by a famished hunter.
Well, have you tried not having 16 a day, as you seem to?
Well, this is the trouble, is that I do need some. But one... sort of starts the feeling, as it were. So there's a balance to be struck.
Have you ever had one of these, like they're called sometimes like the bullet or the bull or something, like bullet coffee, where it's mixed in with, well, like coconut oil and butter or something, and it's some...
Oh.
For some reason it releases the caffeine slower.
The Joe Rogan fuckboy coffee.
Oh, is it? Does he espouse the virtues of the slow relief coffee?
I went through a phase of scrolling through the Joe Rogan podcasts, and it would be like you'd have to scroll, UFC fighter, scroll, baseball guy I've never heard of, scroll, just talking about chimps, whatever, scroll. And then eventually you'd find one where he spoke to like someone from NASA, and you'd think, oh, okay. Mm. I mean, I'm just happy to listen to someone from NASA, but it could be quite funny to listen to a stoned hunter talk to someone from NASA. But at least at that time, this is a while ago now, at least at that time, he was going on and on and on about this mega coffee that was full of Nubrinos for your brain, and you could put special fucking buffalo butter in or whatever hell. It was like he sells it all. Like he owns like the majority shares of the company that sells a lot of the supplements he pushes.
Oh, so he's in the pocket of Big Butter.
They do keep going on about, it's got some name like it's like not like neutrinos or like neurons, but it's like neuro blobs. Like it's just different enough.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, it improves brain function. Yeah, yeah. And you go, what does that mean?
The kind of science word they've never heard before and always accompanies a dairy product. Mm.
Yes.
And you go, is that real?
Yeah, it's like taking the attitude of protein powders and applying it to whatever. I mean, I don't know what the example they're using of processing brain power. Like, take this milkshake full of neutrine bombs and you can do all the maths you need to do faster. Like, it's this so unclear.
It's also a bit of a self-own.
Are you dumb?
To assume all your listeners need help with their brains. Like, they're not thinking good enough. They need special milkshakes to be able to understand anything more than your podcast. Look,
my listeners can barely understand the podcast as it is. Without this cocktail of mega drugs, they can hardly fucking leave the house and navigate their way around town safely.
Without just walking into the path of a truck. I could do with some of that today, to be honest. I've just got one of those tired days. I'm real sleepy. Last night, I got to bed early, before midnight, because I had an early start this morning. And I was tired from a day of doing stuff yesterday. And I got into bed, and you know that thing when you go into bed and you're tired and you're looking forward to sleep all day, and you need to sleep because you got an early start the next morning, and you lie down and your brain just goes, okay, here's that sleep. And then you're just lying there. Here it is. Here's our sleep. Your brain's doing jazz hands, but nothing's coming through the curtains. And here's your sleep. And sleep is just a Von Trapp family that doesn't arrive for the concert. It was just like that for like an hour and a half or something, like 2 hours. I was just there.
And you're tired the whole time.
Tired the whole time, and instead my brain goes, while we wait for sleep to arrive, here are all the people who you think have taken you for a fool from childhood till now. We've got them all here. And then they just, there's this parade of slights and grudges and regrets. Just all on like this long candy cane, just doing a dance.
Which nighttime visitation would you say is your most frequent of those, of that cavalcade of freaks and monsters?
They're too revealing.
Oh, I don't mean
to say. If I was comfortable talking about them, I would have said them out loud.
Oh, I just mean the genre. I just mean the genre. Them.
Oh, genre. Genre is things like. Something like, why did you never learn to skip rope? You're the only person I know. This is my brain talking to me. You're the only person I know can't skip rope. And then I go, but it's really hard. And my brain goes, people do it. Everyone can do it. People who can't use chopsticks can skip rope. Why can't you? And so, like, it'll get to that point. It'll get to the point where, like...
You just spiral.
Yeah, and things that I had no... I couldn't possibly have had any control over. My brain's going, oh, if it weren't for this pandemic you've started, you'd have finally realized your potential by now. But because you went and started this pandemic, you stupid little shit. Now you have to do podcasts over the phone. I hope you're happy.
I like the ones where I escalate an imaginary situation in my head to the point where I'm trying to think about what I would say if someone at a fictional restaurant insulted my son. I don't have a son.
Yeah, I have lots of those. Wait, but nothing that extreme, though. Nothing quite that mad, maybe. So is your son, in this scenario, is your son having dinner with you at the restaurant and the waiter's come over and said something to the son?
Well, it's like...
Or have you overheard the waiter saying something to the maitre d' and they're sniggering at your son?
It's something like... So it has to escalate, right? It can't start there. You got to warm up. You got to stretch, yeah? You got to stretch your crazy muscles before you go on a run like that. So it'll be like... It'll start with something like, oh, I I'll get some memory of like being in a cafe with my family when I was a kid and someone like made fun of my sister or me, or I don't know. You know when you're a kid and you have the sort of horrible moments of confrontation with like other humans.
Yeah.
And you sort of go, oh my God, other humans can be sort of horrible. Like grown-ups can have arguments and things, or like weird, like glimpses into, because it's like you're having an argument with another kid in a playground and you go, wait, we're not at school. We're not even at the same school. They don't even know who you are. There are no rules out here. Something like that. And then I would go, oh, but then what would I do if, like, oh, but what would I do if that happened? And I was like you've got to have layers of speculation.
Yeah, and so and you start from a position that is quite closely based on something that actually happened.
Yes, yeah.
Or like an altercation you can't remember. And then your brain just adds on these tangents and tangents and tangents until you end up in a restaurant with your imaginary son.
Defending my imaginary son against accusations of some nefarious and obscure kind.
Has the waiter accused your son of something to you? Has he said, I'm not getting your son salad? Don't you know he poisoned the watering hole or something like that?
No, it'll be something like, what if I had a son with a lisp? What would I do if I had a son and they had a lisp and if someone was probably rude about the lisp? Like, what must that be like? But I'll be physically annoyed. I'll be annoyed about this complete fucking fictional cake I've baked.
And do you win? You must win, at least.
Oh, it's always a bittersweet victory, Phil, because it had to happen. Obviously, it didn't have to happen. It didn't happen.
Right.
But, you know. But sometimes I'll snap myself out of it, and I'll be like, I'm lying in bed, furious at nothing. I've kind of got it under control, but for years I used to do it and catch myself and go, "What the fuck are you doing? Go to bed."
I will start like putting myself in question time.
Yes.
Like, I end up on the panel in question time, and there's a question that comes up, and there's. I imagine someone who I disagree with on the other side saying something stupid, and then I say something brilliant. Yeah,
and they say something, Phil, and the thing they say is so typical, but it leaves them wide open for the following things.
And even in this version, I have to take a few goes at formalizing the perfect sentence. Yeah. Or like, I have to edit, like, well, I wouldn't say quite, I say, that's it, that's what I say. Yeah, that'll show them. Oh, they wouldn't know what
I wish, I always read about these people who are like, you all have arguments in the shower. It's like, I'm busy in the shower, I wish I had them in the shower.
Oh, right.
I'd rather have them in the shower than when I'm trying to go to fucking bed.
That's true, I save it all up for beddy times.
Yeah.
I sometimes do they ever sneak out of your mouth like out loud? Sometimes I will go, well, of course that never occurred to you, and then I have to I have to keep it quiet, you know. I'm like, well, how would you know? You've never had to they would just come
like
out
the
of my
sleep
mouth.
Talking of a sort loud. Of a barrister.
But awake talking. I'm not even asleep.
I do it. I do that. Yeah. Well, sometimes around the house, right? If you're pootling around the house and it gets bad enough, you might slip out with something like, "Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?"
or that's my son you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Customers in this establishment,
just like any of the others, and we expect to be treated with. Just the same amount of dignity as someone without a lisp.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
He might have a lisp, but he's my son and I love him. Yeah.
I just catch myself with these fucking elaborate houses of cards I've built for no one but myself. A completely internal problem.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, fucking hell. It's hard to go to sleep.
Oh, man. It is. It's easiest when you're not trying, but those are the least important nights.
I looked up, or stumbled across, how they get fighter pilots to go to sleep. Because they fly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they fly in these shifts.
At weird hours and stuff.
Yeah. And, obviously, they're full of adrenaline because they've just been hurtling through the fucking sky at, 900 kilometers an hour or whatever.
Mm.
Mach 3, blah, blah, blah. And when Tom Cruise from Top Gun wants to go to bed, then, it's an absolute task and it's very stressful and there could be bombs and machine guns going off. And so they developed this, sequence of techniques to help pilots go to sleep, and they teach it to you if you're a fighter pilot over weeks. It takes 6 weeks of practice, but then after 6 weeks of just doing it every day, these guys could go to sleep sitting upright in chairs while they were playing machine gun noises around them and stuff.
Wow.
So it is doable. It just takes bloody forever.
And what's training consist of? Just doing that, basically. Just sitting, playing machine gun sounds and saying, go to sleep, go to sleep. Hey,
hey, bedtime.
Reading them, bedtime stories? in
giving them
next
giving them a glass of warm milk and then slapping it out of their hands? That kind of thing.
That just got me thinking. Top Gun got me thinking about... Did you know that... the American military will sort of loan gear, ships, and they'll if a film needs an aircraft carrier or something, yeah. The U.S. military will sort of do it for them. We'll do the shot for them. We'll let them film it. But the American army has to come off really well.
Yes.
And they have to do well. So, and there's the clearest example of this I've ever seen is in... Captain Phillips. Have you seen Captain Phillips?
No, not yet.
In Captain Phillips, this is a bit of a spoiler, but in Captain Phillips, his ship's taken, and then the pirates they take Captain Phillips hostage, and they get in a lifeboat, but it's one of those ones that's all closed up. It's completely sealed, with just a few windows, small windows, and they drive off with Captain Phillips. As a hostage, and these Americans, these Navy SEALs to come, they're Navy snipers or SNEALs, Marine snipers, I don't know, and they get down. They're all very handsome.
Yes, yeah.
They're all very buff.
Lantern jaws.
And they sit down, and he sets up his rifle, and he's very stoic. He's not shaken by anything, and it's a really hard shot because the pirate is holding Tom Hanks as a human shield behind the plexiglass window, but then they hit a wave which knocks him a bit off balance, and the sniper with his split second reactions takes a shot, pop, pop, and he gets up, and his friends, other sort of Navy snipers, gather around him, and they walk off. These are characters we haven't met in the movie. They've only just arrived. We don't know their names. We don't know the backstories. And they start high-fiving and going, yeah, just fist-bumping. And they walk off, and they're not seen again. And that's all you see of these snipers. He turns up, just pow, And he gets up and just high-fives his friends with, like, big old biceps.
Like the end of a teen movie.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny if that was just the end of it.
Freeze the frame and Tech should have come up saying, and he had a fulfilling, long, and healthy career in the U.S.
With fully paid benefits.
With fully paid pension.
Yeah, just a high five. Yeah. And then da ba da da ba da ba da, just a little theme tune. You don't even find out what happened to Captain Phillips. That's just the end of the film.
They forgot the film. Oh, this is a fun podcast I'm listening to right now. I think I mentioned it to EPA. It's called The Wind of Change. Oh, yes. And it's a story about how the CIA might have written the German power ballad, but it's in English, Winds of Change, to spur on the fall of the Berlin Wall in the late 80s.
Yeah.
It's a band called The Scorpions. Do you know the song, The Winds of Change?
I've heard it once. I know The Scorpions more because of Here I Am, ba-bum, ba-bum, rock you like a hurricane. That's them.
All right,
that's the Scorpions.
Winds of Change was huge in Malaysia, so I heard it loads growing up. So I know Winds of Change better. The one that starts... Oh, no, it's too high for my whistling.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know. It goes... Yes, of course, yeah.
And basically, there's a theory that the CIA wrote the song and gave it to the Scorpions to play in Europe.
And then, but like, it came out in, what, like 1990?
Well, this is the thing. I feel like it came out right after the end of the book. But I don't know if it was about... I don't know if the idea was to change hearts and minds in the fallout of the end of the Soviet Union, or if it did get there just in time before the... I don't know. It's a good fun podcast anyway, and it's full of other just great fun CIA stuff.
I think it's
from the 60s up to the 80s.
From what I can tell from you sent me the link and I had a little scroll through the episodes, it looks like it's more interesting for the sake of the fact that like the guy is a very serious intelligence and security journalist, and he has access to lots of interesting people he can talk to and so on. And it seems like it's more about that than about whether or not the CIA can artificially write a number one hit across multiple nations. Because obviously, if they could, they could have done that in the 80s. Why were they like, well, we won't win just yet. Sure. We won't make loads of money and win the Cold War just yet. We'll wait till it's already happened and then kind of leap in with a rock ballad out of nowhere.
But you can say that about any decisive action.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if the people of Eastern Europe in 1990 needed a song to be like, things are changing.
Yes. I guess you're right. Well, unless it was about like normalizing the idea of change before it happened. And trying to make people less afraid of change.
Maybe. I mean...
You know, I don't know.
The real thing is like, whenever they confront the CIA or whoever with this stuff, and they're always like, "Are you smart and powerful enough to do this incredible thing?" They're never going to say, "Oh no."
Well, and when they do say no, the journalist can go, "I see, yeah. Tight-lipped, are we?"
Yeah, exactly. Because they always like. Like all they ever do is like information warfare. So the idea that they turn down the chance to be seen as like 10 times as spooky as they really are. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the ultimate conspiracy theory is that, you know, all conspiracy theories are planted by otherwise completely lazy and ineffective organizations to spread rumors of their brilliance. Do you think...
Would you...
No, you go for it.
I was going to just say if you could artificially create a conspiracy theory about you, or an urban myth about you, what would it be?
An urban myth.
Or like a conspiracy theory, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe more specific.
Well, in the vein of the Scorpions thing, it'd be quite funny if it was like, do you know that Do you know that Pierre writes all the jokes? Just like all of them.
Oh, yeah, Bud Pod is fully scripted. That's the conspiracy.
That would be a funny one, yeah. That would be funny.
Down to every and stumble. Yeah. It is, yeah, tightly scripted.
There's a teleprompter, and also we write all the correspondence too.
Oh no, I think we've given birth to a subreddit.
Oh man, I think we should be very fortunate if we got enough of those lunatics listening for the advertising figures, you know. People seem to be going over your podcasts individually repeatedly. You go, yeah, it's great.
You're getting a lot of backward plays, which is not very common. I don't even know why we measure that, actually. But you are. You're getting a lot of people. A lot of people are playing your podcast backwards.
People who download
looking for something.
Your podcast also seem to download the original Wizard of Oz movie a lot. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never done that, you know, to see if it actually does match up. I should give it a go.
I've seen the first 15 minutes of it done to it.
And it does work?
I mean, kind of. It's like abstract music, so you can put whatever you want on it, really.
That's right.
It's one of those things that, like...
Yeah. It's like this CD of Whale Song perfectly syncs up with your walk in the park. <It's> like, yeah.
This Mongolian throat singing album perfectly syncs up with Die Hard 3. It's amazing. Well, this is...
It's a good album, though. Dark Side of the Moon, very good album. I was surprised how good it was. I was surprised that it wasn't just like which I thought it would be, because it's like rock and stuff. And I'm quite rockophobic. I'm like quite guitarophobic. I don't really like guitar.
Yeah, though. You are a bit guitarophobic, aren't you?
I don't know why.
You fear the guitar and its sexy powers.
And its many strings. I fear the lute. And its powers of coercion.
Maybe it's because we're from the generation of landfill indie, so there wasn't just enough guitar music around.
Don't want to be an American idiot. I guess it's because the American idiot epitomized the guitar song. You can't write a better song than American Idiot. And now that I've heard American Idiot... I know there's no point listening to any other guitar music. Maybe that's
When I was growing up, I remember getting really into rock and metal and stuff. And then I had sort of like 6 or 7 bands that I listened to a lot. And then a couple of them were sort of heavier metal kind of stuff. And I thought, I should get into that maybe then. And then I tried. And it just... The trouble I have with a lot of genres of music is that if you listen to like the best of the genre... Like 3 or 4 of the best. And then after that, it's all kind of just... It's the same as each other.
That's it, innit?
I don't like any genre of music enough to ignore the fact that I could go, yeah, these are kind of the same to me.
But there's something kind of comforting about that. Like, I like the jazz and the old standards and the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
And they... I mean, there are some gems that stick out and are completely distinct and are like works of... genius, but overall there's a shared sound, obviously, and you can say this about almost anything. You can say it about pop and hip-hop, but I think there is a comfort about the sound and being able to listen to that sound.
That's true, but when it comes to like blues and jazz or even classical, it's kind of like it's music that you can listen to actively, but also you can kind of go around town with it. It's very sort of ambient in some ways, like a piano bar vibe or in your head or whatever. Whereas
there was a very...
Death metal.
So there's right, yeah,
you can't
exactly.
Spend the whole day without fucking happening to you.
I find that unpleasant to walk around with and listen to, specifically. Except for the band Baby Metal, who are a Japanese band... of young Japanese women who sing in cute voices but are backed by really heavy metal. For some reason, I don't mind them. And I can't figure out why, but for some reason, I make an exception for Baby Metal. I think that's what they're called. There was a strange period of my childhood, or like tween years, Let me just check. It is called, they are called Baby Metal. Yes, Baby Metal. Highly recommended Baby Metal. They're really, really great. Anyway, there's a strange period of my sort of young life when my mother was trying to get me into Metallica because she was upset at how much Kid Rock I was listening
hang
to.
Hang on, hang on. Pump the brakes here.
I had a friend at school in Malaysia who got me onto Kid what? Rock, who I thought was a brilliant musician who somehow managed to marry authentic hip-hop rap with with sort of homespun Americana.
How has this never come
and,
up?
Well, there's some things that I've suppressed. obviously. And my mother heard like an album of Kid Rock and she was so appalled. She was so appalled by Kid Rock that she'd like from time to time she'd just come to me with, she'd obviously gone off and done research and trying to get to see what might be tangential to Kid Rock, but better, that she could wean me off.
What?
Off the teat.
I'm
of
so
Kid
fascinated
Rock.
By it.
And one of her suggestions was Metallica, and she said, Do you like Metallica? And I said, no, I want to listen to the kid. Stop trying to control me, mother. This is exactly what the kid's been warning me about. He said my mom would come in. The Rock said my mom would try and do this to me, trying to control me.
This...
You don't understand me. The kid, he speaks the truth.
He's the only one who combines my angry hip-hop feelings and my chewing on some hay down by the old watering hole feelings. This is astonishing. Oh my god. This has to be a whole podcast on its own. Phil's retrospective on Kid Rock. Did you like his little hats?
Bar with a bar, the bang, the bang. Did it? I couldn't get enough of that song.
I couldn't get enough. I choose to live in a world where your mother was secretly just a big old Metallica fan, and she was just there saying, "But Phil, yes, a lot of the tracks on Kill 'Em All were very aggressive, but a lot of the other there's a lot of melodic, you know, mastery really of the guitar and the."
Yes, there's actually a lot of virtuosity. It's hard to pick out of the melange of notes. But if to the trained ear, these men epitomize the guitar playing world.
If you just listen, Phil, you realize that a lot of the guitar sections are so difficult to play. They're almost impossible to play live, or they were at the time. Oh, please, Phil. Please. Enter Sandman. You have to admit, enter Sandman.
And I just look her dead in the eyes with my chubby cheeks wobbling, and I just say, bar with the bar, da bang, bibbly bibbly boo. And she knew what it meant. It meant that she'd failed.
What was that Kid Rock song that came out like around when we were at university and he'd rhyme the same word at the end of the line?
Oh, yeah, we were trying different things. We were smoking funny things.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Things with things. We were trying different things. We were smoking funny things.
Is he just, like, what I like about country music is how often, because it's a target audience is, like, still doing this stuff, but they don't want to hear you talk about it openly. It's really weird. They'll always just be like... You have to say we were trying different things and smoking funny things, as opposed to, we got high and you sucked my dick by the pond. You can't just say that.
What's so pure about that is not only has he has he rhymed two lines in a row with the same word, which is bland in on of itself, but the word he has rhymed is the blandest word in
things.
English. It's thing. It's the most unspecific word in the English language.
Yeah.
And he's rhymed it with itself.
He's done the equivalent of someone going, da 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 something, da 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 something.
Quite literally, he has done that.
Amazing. Really, what an amazing... I can see why you were so entranced as a youth.
We were smoking funny things. Oh, kid, you've done it again.
There's a scene... have you seen Red Dragon?
No.
It's good. It's good.
And
There's a scene in it.
Is it? I thought it's like not good.
No, I think it's good. I just like watching Popkins being scary.
Is this the one? This is not the one with Edward.
Yeah,
Norton,
yeah. This is the Ed Norton one. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Well, look. The point is, one of the sort of famous crimes that Hannibal Lecter is supposed to have done is that there was a flautist in the Baltimore Philharmonic Orchestra, who was like bad at playing the flute or whatever, and so Hannibal Lecter, being this like man of culture, sort of kidnaps him and eats him and serves him to the Philharmonic board.
Right.
As a way of purifying the orchestra and removing the irritant, but also of punishing the board for tolerating a bad player, you know. But there's a moment in Red Dragon where it's Anthony Hopkins and everyone's in like black tie and they're watching the Philharmonic Orchestra play. And every time this guy, the camera will show this one flute player who keeps sort of going like the note's just a bit wrong. And you see like the other flute players around him looking at him a bit like, come on, man. And it zooms in on Anthony Hopkins, and he just has like a very slight like eye twitch. When the note goes wrong, his eye twitches a little bit, and he cocks his head, and you think, oh no. That's me when we're at university and I heard that song by Kid Rock. You go, trying funny things, we were smoking funny things. Just a little eye twitch. Feeling of real violence.
And that's why you ate Kid Rock.
I turned Kid Rock into what would it grits? I don't know.
You invited us all around for a braai, and you said, "I'm serving something very special."
Young
today.
Goat. Oh, kid! And I'd laugh and go, "Yes, you could say that."
Yes, I suppose you.
I suppose you could say that.
Oh.
You could say, "I've roasted a kid." Yes, yes. And everyone would go, "Right, so you've murdered Kid Rock. He disappeared yesterday." I mean, we're not idiots. And I go, "Oh.
I wouldn't want to overdo him. He'd be hard as rock."
I'm still talking like that as they handcuff me and lead me away.
Yes, we know.
What you did. None of us even ate any.
It was obvious. You didn't disguise it. It was just a Kid Rock. You just put him on a barbecue.
Visibly.
Because he's still recognizably Kid Rock. Yes.
Visibly the corpse of a human man. You fucking lunatic. And I'd be like, my defense would be like, well, I'm insane. What do you expect?
I guess I was just trying different things.
As they drag me into the van. Do you have any last requests? Yes, play Metallica at my funeral. I would love to see a fly on the wall documentary following your mum as she went around HMV flicking through the racks thinking, well, there's got to be something. You know, I want to see the research that went into that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where we were. I don't know if the internet was quite up and running. No, yeah, it was. It was, yeah. We were getting there on the old internet. So maybe she got online. I don't know, you know.
Maybe she just went...
But that's how bad my Kid Rock problem
was. Well, this is it. I mean, mums generally do a lot of research in my experience, but your mother is also, a medical doctor. So she's no stranger to, you know, diagnosing a problem and then attacking it with knowledge.
Yeah.
So she clearly sort of went like... She must have, at the bare minimum, gone into HMV and found some kid with acne, like the kid from The Simpsons, and been like, look, my son listens to a lot of Kid Rock. And then the guy would have gone, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he would have taken your mom into the back room and made her some tea. And they would have he would have gone up to the door of HMV and flipped the sign to closed, and then the entire staff would have gathered around to talk about.
It's a cold rock.
Shutter down. Shutters come down. That's astonishing. I can't believe that's never come up before. And all the times that we've talked about musical preferences. Wowee.
It's because I'm ashamed, Pierre. I'm ashamed. This is what shame looks like.
Do you think that that's the weirdest thing about your musical taste? Or would you ever listen to a Kid Rock thing now and think, and not necessarily still enjoy it, but feel the way you used to enjoy it?
You know what? There was, when that Smoking Different Things, you know, Smoking Funny, Doing Different Things and Smoking Funny Things, when that song came out, I was like, most of me was like, this is atrocious. But you know, he's rhymed things with things. But a small lingering vestige of the boy I was, deep within me, whispered out, I think it's quite good.
You're in a child rock.
My inner rock. My inner kid rock, yeah. This my inner child rock. This is quite good, actually. The kid's back doing what he does best.
You were like a...
And then, I think he's a full-on Trump supporter
now.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, some Trump supporters, when they're outed, don't surprise you. And this was one of those cases.
Yeah.
Like, when it's Tim Allen, you're like, oh, really? Oh, that's a shame. I liked Home Improvement. With Kid Rock, you're like, well, yeah, obviously, he didn't need to tell us.
I think I was less surprised by Tim Allen because I was aware that he briefly got in trouble with the police for smuggling an enormous amount of cocaine, I think, or maybe it was marijuana, on an airplane. Yeah.
That's not true. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Sir, is this your bag?
Do you have anything in your bag, sir?
Do you think that's the noise of him trying coke for the first time, if he tried coke, and he just goes, like, just gets really, his grunts get really powered up. Do you think that Kid Rock thing is the most surprising thing about your music preferences? My most surprising thing is my abiding affection for Marilyn Manson.
I can see that's not surprising because you like sort of heavy metal and rock anyway. That's not surprising.
I think it's more that I don't seem like I do. I think it's because we've known each other a long time. I wouldn't have always thought it was surprising.
It's the theatricality of it that I'm surprised by. You know, Marilyn Manson's very much towards this sort of theatrical...
performance art, yeah.
...end of the rock spectrum. Yeah, and that I would not normally associate with you. You're more of a real politic kind of fellow.
I think it's surprising to people who are getting to know me because I just don't... I think I dress very normcore.
Yes, that's true. Exactly.
And with something like as niche as Marilyn Manson, not niche, but as you say, sort of a little bit more than long hair and a leather bracelet, you'd expect at least a single Nightmare Before Christmas tattoo.
But you're also that kind of normcore where there is something, you know, there's something he's hiding. You're the kind of normcore...
Ted Bundy.
You're the kind of normcore where he goes home and, yeah, there's a corner of his garage that's lit by a single lamp that he's welding something at. That's what you dress like.
Like that Tom Waits song. What's he building in there? That's about me.
What's he building in
there? They say he spent some time in
a great song.
Indonesia. That's one of the lines. And what about all those packages he sends?
Yeah,
something weirder about sending loads of packages than receiving them.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's such a fun. I should.
What's he building?
Listen to that again as well.
It's actually a spoken word song about the early days of Jeff Bezos and Amazon. He was building a business empire, Tom. Actually,
leave the man alone.
He was building. He was building the largest retail body in the world, actually.
What kind of taxes is he paying in there? His employees leave a lot of bottles of piss around.
What are the working conditions in there?
And there's no hint of a union inside. I'd like that. I'd like Council Health and Safety Inspector Tom Waits as a good character.
Yeah, that is good.
You boys ever find the time to fix that leak?
He's apparently who Heath Ledger based his Joker on. Tom Waits, yeah, early Tom Waits. And there's a clip of him like on some talk show or something, early Tom Waits, and he's kind of talking like the Joker. Kind of like that, yeah. Yeah, before like all the cigarette and cigar smoke really gets to his throat. He sounds like Heath Ledger's Joker.
The new Joker, I think, is just based off My Chemical Romance, generally speaking.
Which new Joker is this? The Joaquin Phoenix one or the Jared Leto one?
I was thinking of the Jared Leto one. In my head, the most recent one is the most offensive one, and the Jared Leto one is the worst one.
Yeah, the one with the word damaged tattoo on his forehead.
I mean, if I actually met someone with the word damaged tattoo on their forehead, I'd be like, oh, what kind of juggling do you do at festivals?
There was a period there in the early 2010s where the average DC fan, the average Batman fan, was, to be honest, starting to get a little embarrassed because Marvel were undertaking this unprecedented domination and takeover of not just the comic book world, but the movie world in general and the world culture in the mainstream. And us Batman fanboys are going, well, DC still has the best villains. Oh, Marvel can't top DC villains. And then, like, the final nail in the DC coffin was released. A photo of Jared Leto with the word damaged tattooed on his forehead. And everyone except the most manic of us DC fans put up our hands and we left the trenches and we said, fair play, you've won the war. The war is over.
And he's got damaged.
We forfeit.
He's got damaged tattoo on his forehead and his teeth are like bullets. Oh, it's scary.
So bad.
The hardest... Do you know what I think the hardest thing about selling the Joker?
Worst movie I've ever seen in my life, I think, Suicide Squad. I think is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Did we see it together?
And that's not pejorative. No, I think I watched it on my own on a plane. Because I was like, okay, this is perfect for a plane. Because I do want to have seen it, but I don't want to have paid for it. And I don't want to spend time that I could have spent doing something else watching it. So it's a perfect plane movie. And I watched Suicide Squad on the plane. And I thought at the end, what a waste of a plane journey. What a waste of 2 hours on a plane. I could have done so much on this plane that would have been better than watching Suicide Squad. I could have farted. I could have tried and failed to sleep.
I just remember watching it.
It's so awful.
I just remember watching it and enjoying the fact that, like, each character needs like a 3-minute introduction for who they are and why they're all spooky, right? So it would be like Jimmy Longfingers, who uses his long fingers to steal things and poke out children's eyes, oogly boogly. And then every time you met one of them, it would be like this montage to a T-Rex song or a hip-hop song. And you'd have to like, oh, and they're really cool, and it would be them like being led between jail cells or doing a grenade at someone, whatever. But then by the 14th or 15th time that that's happening as a montage, you sort of start to literally lose track.
Yeah, you do,
of what
you
characters
really do.
Who.
And there's literally a point after they do this, like, not exaggerating, 6-7 times in a row to give you the backstory of 6-7 characters. There's another that turns up on the day in a car, like an Uber. Literally, like, he steps out of an Uber and someone in a voice off camera, so you know they had to just record this after they finished filming. Someone off camera, the voice goes, oh, there's Grapplehook. He climbs buildings really fast. And then they start the movie. And then they go on the mission. That's literally...
Yeah, that was when I burst out laughing in the cinema, I think.
Oh, do you remember that bit? Where it's like, they literally say something like, oh, there's Grapple Hook. He's really good at scaling walls. It's literally
they introduce
like
all the characters who are played by famous people in real life. And then it's like, Grapple Hook, Australia Man, and Sandpaper Face. And they all arrive in the same Uber. And they go, oh, these guys are here. Oh, that's good. Anyway, on with the briefing.
That's right. I think you're right. I think it's three of them get
there's
out.
A crocodile man, there's a boomerang man, and there's a climbing man.
Gosh.
And it's something
That's right. It's laugh out.
It's also unclear why they aren't just like...
Also...
Well, why don't we just give all the ones we already have grappling hooks? I mean, they seem pretty good at every other kind of acrobatic... I don't know if we need a guy for this.
Yeah. There's a real imbalance with those. Some of them... Like, one of them is like, I never miss a shot. Every shot I take with a gun kills. And then there's also one of them who's like, who can open doors a bit faster.
Yeah.
Like, he's quite fast at opening doors. And you think, okay, is he bringing as much to the table as Deadshot?
There'll be a guy whose power is that he doesn't have to live with his... He doesn't have to lift with his knees. He can lift with his back.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I assume you're going to engineer a wildly unrealistic situation where that's the only thing that can help.
Also, that movie has the most incongruous soundtrack I've ever heard. You've touched on this. But it at one point goes from The House of the Rising Sun by The Animals to Black Skinhead by Kanye West. House of the Rising Sun to Black Skinhead. So that's... There is... and it's what
you don't get to shift gears like that 11 times in a row at the start. I'm so sick of seeing dramas like that movie, and also like Gotham as well, the TV show, but also like 19 other TV shows where they either play a particular song by the Black Angels, which is a metal band, and like, you'd know the song if you heard it. That's how fucking overused it is. It's even in the Ozark. Or they play the Johnny Cash song where it's like the man comes around.
I feel like I've not heard that one so much.
Oh man, if they ever just go, oh, we need to signal that this character has finally got his shit together and he's gonna come back and get the other guy, then coin flip, that fucking song comes on, and it's been ruined by these.
That's a good song. I need to listen to that.
It's an amazing song, but they go like, "Should we make this feeling come from the words the characters say?" And they just go, "No."
Oh man, man, oh man.
Oh, 1 second. Someone's having a fucking luggage convention outside my flat.
LugCon. LugCon, is LugCon in town?
Yeah, LugCon's in town. We're the venue for LugCon.
Are the luggies there?
The luggies, yeah. You got it. God love them. God love the luggies.
Shall we read a correspondence? I think we have time for a correspondence.
Yeah, I think we have time for a one. Let's find one. The trouble with my building, Phil, is that it just seems to continuously host a never-ending stream of young people from the Far East and the Indian subcontinent who have 14 wheelie bags each, and they arrive and leave after 3 or 4 days each. I think they're visiting universities or they're using an Airbnb, I don't know, but they are universally East or South Asian. And that is based on living in the same building for many
years.
That's
Asian. Why, there's an old saying in Asia, why travel light when you could not?
Is it a thing?
Oh yeah, Asian people with a million bags, yeah, all over Asia, yeah. We've got a lot of stuff. It's all food, it's literally all food. Like you, it's just full of bags of rice and frozen prawns and jars of pastes. That, yeah, it's just packed with that stuff.
Well, see, my school had some kids from Hong Kong, and they would always have like an entire second suitcase full of just rice and noodles and things, like foods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
God, maybe that is
because their parents just are terrified that they can't find any of that stuff here.
That they'll have to eat disgusting Western food, there was a time like when cheesecake. For some reason, that seems like the most Western food to me.
Cheesecake.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. It's
yeah. It's a dessert, it's dairy, it involves cheese.
Yeah, it'd be like if there was an Asian dish called noodle rice. Like you just cut noodles into tiny little bits and you call it noodle rice. That's what cheesecake, the equivalent of cheesecake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, noodle rice, yeah. So, a quick little bit of tat here. We'll do some tat.
Oh, great. Yes, I love my tat.
It's 1 o'clock somewhere.
Give me the coffee and no one gets hurt.
Bless this mess.
I like two things, pals and Prosecco. And I'm all out of pals.
One Prosecco, two Prosecco, three Prosecco, floor.
If the wife asks, I'm working.
Keep calm and keep drinking tea.
Tat attack!
So Chris gets in touch.
Chris, what's this?
Ooh, that's good. He says, dear Bud Thanks. Boys...
thank you.
But the boys has a Z, so I feel cooler.
That is much cooler.
Yeah. It says, here's some tat to get you through the end times. These are small signs to hang up in the house, sold in a high-end shop in Clifton, Bristol, that inexplicably sells tat and softcore lingerie.
Wow, okay. I want softcore lingerie.
Do you think it's...
Is that just jumpers?
Do you think it's just like particularly elaborate normal underwear? Like it's not like there's a hole in any of them or something.
That's just normal. I don't think the default lingerie is like gaping holes in the crotch and like nipple windows. I think that's the specialist stuff.
But then I guess...
don't think you have to go into a shop and say, can I have some hard... Yeah, you have to say, I want hardcore lingerie. Not softcore crotchless pants.
Yeah, the emphasis there. Maybe it's really softcore in the sense that it's not even particularly see-through.
Or maybe like tasteful or something.
Yeah.
Like it's nice underwear. Yeah, it's not like suggestive or even that lacy. It's just like nice.
Yeah, like underwear that looks like it's made by someone who makes wedding cakes.
That's it.
So here's the tat in quick succession. These are all like little wooden signs. I would say they are the size, visually speaking, of like a sort of half a keyboard lengthways. Like they're quite wide and thin.
That's a great reference point there.
Thank you.
Great, nice one.
Thank you. So
modern reference point from a modern man for a modern audience.
This bit of tat says, in slightly larger letters, and it's a very sober font for tat, which I appreciate. It says, of course size matters, comma.
Oh, we've been here before. We've been here very recently.
It's a little bit of our old friend, indirect reference to Cox tat.
Yeah.
So, large letters, of course size matters, comma. What do you think the second glass says, Phil? Is that second glass? Second line.
Oh, have you given it away?
Yeah.
Because to be fair to me, I was going to guess I'll have the larger glass of wine.
Big glass of wine. Yeah, you're the tat whisperer. You were always going to get this. It says, of course size matters. No one wants a small glass of wine. Ooh.
Yes, love it. Love it. I love being the tat whisperer. I love it. Even though that one did have a bit of accidental help, I would have got there. I promise.
You would have got your record is flawless. No one can question you on precedent. So, here we go. Here's the next one. Top line, big letters. I'm a hybrid, ...
Oh, okay. I'm a hybrid. I like chocolate and Prosecco.
Oh, I'm going to give you that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that. He's done it.
What is it?
I'm a hybrid, ... I run on chocolate and wine.
Oh, yes. I'm the best. You cannot out-tat whisper me. You merely trained in the tat. I was born in it.
Yeah, you're there saying, I didn't live laugh love until I was already a man. So this one. I'm always amazed by, do you know what? I wish I enjoyed any like little treat as much as tat people seem to. Like, I like chocolate and wine, but Jesus.
That's right. It's sort of a tragic window into a life of dreadful self-repression and self-denial and... Like these things shouldn't be that cheeky. I have a bit of chocolate once in a while. It's not a big deal.
Well, this is it. I mean, okay, so I just wish I enjoyed things as much as they're just like, no fucking for me, please. A little bit of chocolate. Like, the inescapable conclusion, Phil, is that they're having very bad sex or they've got access to a chocolate supply. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I mean, if these signs are pointing to anything, they're pointing to that, aren't they?
Yeah. So, here's a good one for you. So, the top line says, exercise, ! Oh, no! !
Okay. Exercise. Oh, no. is it like a mishearing? So, exercise. Oh, no. I thought you said. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, so exercise. Oh, no. I thought you said. Oh, no. Extra size.
Oh, you're so close.
Exercise. I thought you said super size.
Oh, you know, you're extra.
Oh, no. Exercise. Oh, they meant extra fries.
Yes.
Yes. I'm the Tan Whisperer.
Exercise.
I'm the Tan Whisperer.
Oh, no. I thought you said extra fries. What, here at the gym?
What, in your... This is either in your house or at the gym.
Yeah, what? who's saying... Who's offering you exercise? What's the context for this?
Yeah, if it's at the gym and you seriously thought for a second your personal trainer was offering you extra fries, you need to get your head examined.
If you say that to your personal trainer, they're like the HMV people with your mum. It's worse than we thought. You thought we said extra fries. So this one is quite complicated. I don't know if you'll get this one. It's the second sentence kind of isn't as easily relatable to the first one. So the top line says, the top line says, I dusted once, full stop. It came back, full stop.
Okay, I dusted once.
Which itself is already pretty good tat.
Yeah, exactly. That's enough tat, really. You can't finish. Anything from this point, to be frank, is showing off.
Yeah.
From the tat maker. I dusted once. It came back. Oh, I don't think I'll get this one, you know.
It adds nothing new to the sentiments already expressed, I'll say that.
Okay. I dusted once, it came back, I've learned to live with it.
Close, yeah. That's the kind of general...
I've made my peace with it.
I dusted once, it came back, and I'll give you one more go, but remember, it's about being a bit sassy and a bit funny.
I dusted once, it came back, and now I use the duster to make cakes, chocolate, and Prosecco. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to give up on this one.
So to be fair to you, you had the sentiment to begin with, really. So I dusted once, it came back. I'm not falling for that again.
Oh, you know what? I don't mind that one. I quite like that one.
Yeah.
I think that one's fair enough.
And it should be accompanied by a cough from someone who lives in a very dusty house. I'm not falling for that again.
That was a good cough. That's a good dust cough.
I can do them on command. It's a good comedy noise, isn't it?
Oh no, I can't do them. You get like a bit of treble in there. I can't.
You've got to.
No,
it
sounds like I'm going.
It's got to be really, really high up in your throat, and the sort of almost P sound at the start comes from your lips. So you go. There you go.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
You got it. Okay. Now you're coughing like a king.
Wow. Now you're coughing with a backstop. Now you're coughing with the best of them.
Exactly. So this is the last piece of 10. Yeah. Last bit of 10.
Okay.
So this is one run-on sentence. So the top line, bottom line thing, I'll abandon that for now, and I'll go with warning. Mm-hmm. Blank, blank has nothing to do with shoe shopping.
Warning, blank, blank has nothing to do with shoe shopping. Those bills.
We're on a similar theme to
blank, blank.
The anti-exercise.
Okay. Anti-exercise. Blank, blank. It's nothing to do with shoe shopping. Oof, God.
It's a military term.
Oh! It's a military term. Blank, blank. Has nothing to do with... Okay. Foot soldiers.
Ooh, you're so close. We're anti-exercise.
Foot...
Shoe shopping.
Warning.
It's got nothing to do with shoe shopping.
Footmen.
Shoe.
So hard. Oh no. Ah, I can't do it.
Boot camp.
Ah, of course. You're staring me right in the face.
Warning. Boot camp. Boot camp's got nothing to do with shoe shopping.
I'm sure a lot of people were screaming the answer
at their radios.
At their wirelesses. As they tuned into this week's Bud Pod. Oh, gosh.
Phew.
Okay.
Well.
Well.
A child is screaming in the courtyard of my building, and that means it's time for us to end.
The screaming child means this episode is over.
Is it child scream already? Ding dong.
Who the child screams.
Who could that be? A child scream of all hours.
You get like a phone call late at night. You answer it. Oh God, do you have any idea what child is screaming?
The oldest one. The one that can stay up the latest.
Well, thank you, children, for screaming with us this week.
Yes, scream well and
scream well.
Keep on screaming it, Cozy.
Keep screaming it. Keep screaming it, guys.
Keep screaming it.
Bye-bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.